بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وخير الأمور عوازمها، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعنهم قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. رواه أبو داود والترمذي. وبالسند المتصل منا إلى أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل البخاري رحمه الله تعالى، وحشرنا في زمرته ومحبيه يوم القيامة، قال: باب قول الله: ونضع الموازين القسط ليوم القيامة، وأن أعمال بني آدم وقولهم يوزن. وقال مجاهد: القسطاس العدل بالرومية، ويقال القسط مصدر المقسط وهو العادل، وأما القاسط فهو الجائر. وبه قال: حدثنا أحمد بن أشكاب قال: حدثنا محمد بن فضيل عن أمارة بن القعقاع عن أبي زرعة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال: قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن، خفيفتان على اللسان، ثقيلتان في الميزان، سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who through his infinite and grace granted us this opportunity to participate in this auspicious gathering, wherein the Sahih of Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is being completed. Many of us who attend gatherings wherein Sahih al-Bukhari is completed only attend with the intention of benefiting from the dua, which according to the experience of the mashayikh is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Probably this is the only significance that we attach to the gatherings of Khatmul Bukhari. We do not realize the importance of Sahihul Bukhari. Or rather, the significance and importance of the words of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For majority of us, this is not the first occasion of Sahihul Bukhari. We have attended many khatamat before. But how many of us experience the respect and the greatness for the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when attending? Mamun al-Rashid, he was sitting one day with Yahya ibn Aqsam rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith. Mamun al-Rashid had love for ilm and love for the people of ilm. So people of ilm would be his companions. So one day Yahya ibn Aqsam rahimahullah ta'ala was sitting with Mamun al-Rashid when he asked a question. He said, "O Yahya, man a'azzun nas, from amongst people, who is the most honorable?" So Yahya ibn Aqsam rahimahullah ta'ala thought for a while, he paused for a while thinking. And he came to this conclusion that there is no one more honorable than Amirul Mu'mineen. Because a muhaddith is teaching hadith, a muallim is teaching Quran, a qadi is giving judgments in the court, whereas Amirul Mu'mineen is looking after all the affairs of the Muslim community. So there is no one more honorable than Amirul Mu'mineen. So he said, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, from amongst the people, you are the most honorable." So Mamun al-Rashid said, "No. Shall I tell you who is the most honorable? The most honorable is that alim, that muhaddith who is sitting in a corner of a masjid or a corner of a madrasa with a handful of students, and he is saying, 'Haddathana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin an Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.' Our 7 daughters are graduating today from the Nurul Islam Madrasa. So when we look at the quantity, only 7. This thought comes in our minds. Oh, only 7 girls are graduating. Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, Muddazillahul Ali, and his team, they have spent the whole year with these 7 girls. And from the time madrasa opened until it closed daily, there was nothing but haddasana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin. A teacher engaged with a handful of students, 3 students, 4 students, 7 students, 10 students, engaged with a handful of students. And over again he is transmitting the hadith. with the chain of narration leading direct to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The students who are studying are also blessed. The teachers who are teaching are also blessed. And the administration who is providing this facility is also blessed. And the place where this amal and this engagement is taking place is also blessed. And all those people who are assisting are also blessed. Barakah, barakah, barakah and barakah. So Mamun al-Rashid said that from amongst the people, the most honorable is that person who sits in a corner of the madrasa, a corner of the masjid with a handful of students. And he is saying, Haddasana fulanun. My teacher has narrated to me. And he narrates from this teacher, and he narrates from this teacher, and he narrates from so and so, and he narrates from so and so, until the chain of narration reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is one of the greatest characteristics of Islam. That every hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a chain of narration which reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullahu ta'ala said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, you belong to the family of the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. You are Amirul Mu'mineen. You are looking after all the affairs of the Muslim Ummah. Thousands of madaris are running under you. Thousands of masajid are running under you. You are looking after the affairs of the whole Ummah, every individual of the Ummah. And you are saying that that person is more honorable than you, who is sitting with a handful of students and who is narrating the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mamun al-Rashid said, Naam, waylak. He said, yes. May you perish. In anger, he said, may you perish. Naam, yes. That is what I am saying. Why? Because, لِأَنَّ إِسْمَهُ مُقْتَرِنٌ بِإِسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because the name of this teacher is joined through the chain of narration with the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. نَحْنُ نَفْنَا وَنَمُوتْ فَلَا يَفْنَا أَبَدًا. We will die, we will perish. And maybe after we die, after we perish, our name will vanish also. There are so many well-known famous people who are famous, well-known whilst they are alive. After they die, their names vanish, their fame vanish. So we will die, we will perish. Our name may perish. Our name may vanish from the surface of this earth. But as far as this person is concerned, whose name is connected to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for as long as the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will remain, his name will also remain. I say to friends, when commenting on this particular story, that when we teach Bukhari Sharif, when we study Bukhari Sharif, the students and the teachers, we come across so many names. Haddasana Ahmad ibn Ashkab, one name. Ahmad ibn Ashkab is the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is saying that this hadith was narrated to me by my teacher Ahmad ibn Ashkab. And Ahmad ibn Ashkab said, when narrating the hadith, Haddasana Muhammad ibn Fudail, that my Ustad Muhammad ibn Fudail narrated this hadith to us. And Muhammad ibn Fudayl, when narrating this hadith, said, "An Umara ibn al-Qaqa, that my teacher Umara ibn Qaqa said this. And Umara ibn Qaqa said, An Abi Zura'a, my teacher Abu Zura'a narrated this hadith. And Abu Zura'a says, An Abi Hurairata, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Hurairah, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, narrated this hadith to us, and he says, Qala qala al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Kalimatani habibatani ila ar-Rahman, khafifatani ala al-lisan, saqilatani fil mizan, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala narrates ahadith from various teachers. Not the same teacher all the time. Here Ahmad ibn Ashqa. The hadith before that he narrates from Abu Nu'man. The hadith before that he narrates from Ali. The hadith before that he narrates from Hudbah ibn Khalid. So many names we come across when teaching and learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is only one part of the chain. From Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the remaining chain from Mufti Ibrahim Sahib hafidhahullah ta'ala to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. So we come across so many names. And many a times even the teacher is not aware of who Ahmad ibn Ashqab is. Who is Ahmad ibn Ashqab? We are not aware. Who is Muhammad ibn Fudayl? Unaware. Who is Umara ibn Qaqa? We don't know. But despite not knowing who they are, where they were born, where they passed away, what was their achievement, we are compelled to read their names. Without reading their names, without mentioning their names, we cannot complete Sahih Bukhari. Except for the imma who deal with the science of jarh and ta'dil, majority of the ulama are not aware of Ahmad ibn Ashqab. Majority of them are not aware of Muhammad ibn Fudayl. And there are so many dozens of names in the books of ahadith that we come across, we don't know them. When we mention Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, we are aware of who we are talking about. When we mention Hakimul Ummah Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala, we are aware. When we talk about Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, we know who we are talking about. But majority of them, we are not aware. But because they are connected with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the chain of narration, nobody can remove their names. Those students who have studied from Mufti Ibrahim Sahib and his team, whether they like their teacher or not, alhamdulillah, all the students like their teachers. They have love for their teachers. Without love, without reverence for teachers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept a person for the khidmat of deen. It is through the barakah, through the prayers, and through the attention of the asatidha that a person is able to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us assume for a while that there is a particular student who has a disliking for the teacher. Disliking for the teacher who taught Bukhari Sharif, Mufti Ibrahim Sahib. And he or she is given the responsibility to teach Bukhari Sharif. She or he will not be able to teach Bukhari Sharif without mentioning the name of Mufti Ibrahim Sahib. Because Mufti Ibrahim Sahib is a link in this chain. It is such a great honor. Such a great honor that a person becomes a link in the chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has declared this group who teaches ahadith his own group. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared this group as his own group. Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Su'luki rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was the Sayyidu Ahli al-Hadith. He was the leader of the Muhaddisin during his time. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullahu ta'ala, his student, he was also a great Muhaddis, he was Hafiz of Hadith. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullah ta'ala says that one day our teacher, our Shaykh Muhaddis Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala became unwell.
and his illness was prolonged. And we were all worried and concerned that a great alim may depart from this world. When an alim departs, a whole library departs. When an alim is buried, not only is the alim buried, a whole library is buried. Because what is in his heart and mind cannot be put on paper. So he said, Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz rahimahullah ta'ala says, one day I saw in a dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in going to visit Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saduqi rahimahullah ta'ala because he was unwell. He said, when I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to visit my teacher, I also followed. It was a good opportunity for me to see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with my teacher Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki. I also entered the home. Every person took his place in the house of Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki rahimahullah ta'ala. I also sat down, and while sitting in that gathering, a concern crossed my heart and mind. A concern that what will happen to the Ummah if Muhammad ibn Sulaiman as-Saluki was to depart. Such a great alim, authority on hadith. He is the leader of all the muhaddithin in our time. If he was to pass away, who will fill the void? What will happen to the Ummah? He said, this concern crossed my mind. As soon as this concern crossed my mind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his attention towards me. And he said, O Abu Nasr, la tufakkir fi dhalik. Do not worry about this. He said, don't worry about this. Why? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah ta'ala la yuzayyi'u isabatan ana sayyiduha. He said that I am the leader of this group, the group of muhaddithin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that group go to waste whose leader is me. Allah will protect and preserve this group until the day of Qiyamah. So this is such a great group. The group of muhaddithin, those who teach ahadith, those who learn ahadith. My point that I am trying to emphasize, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, is let us inculcate in our hearts respect for this group, respect for the group of ulama, respect for the group who teach ahadith, who teach the Quran, respect for those students who are exerting every effort to learn the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn the Quran, to learn the tafsir of the Quran. Inshallah, if we do this, we will not be doing any favor or any good to the ulama or the students of deen. We will be doing good to ourselves and our future generations. Because those people who entertain love, who entertain reverence for ilm and the people of ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create amongst their progeny ulama, muhaddithin, mufassirin, those who will learn ilm and those who will serve the ummah with their ilm. So we will be doing favor to ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So this gathering wherein Sahih al-Bukhari is being completed is a very blessed gathering. In future, whenever we have the opportunity of attending gatherings where Sahih al-Bukhari is being completed, let us go to those gatherings with reverence. And let us put all our other works and tasks aside and make it a point of attending such gatherings. Whether it is in Nurul Islam or whether it is elsewhere, if we are able to reach these gatherings, we should, because we will reap the barakat, we will reap the fruits of such gatherings. And inshallah, as a result of the barakat, as a result of the fruits of these gatherings, so much good will come in our homes, so much good will come in our families, so much good will come in our children. and we will see a better deeni future, inshallah. This book, Sahihul Bukhari, Asahul Kutubi Ba'da Kitabillah. It is the most authentic book after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidun. We have revealed this Quran and everything associated to the Quran, and we will preserve it till the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon himself to preserve the Quran and anything associated with the Quran. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the first commentary of the Quran. It is the first tafsir of the Quran. And it is also wahy. Wahy is of two types. Wahy matlu, wahy ghair matlu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will preserve the Quran, which is the wahy matlu, and the ahadith, which is the wahy ghair matlu, until the day of Qiyamah. And in order to preserve the ahadith and the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses certain individuals. And there have been not dozens, thousands who have been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to preserve his deen, preserve a particular science of deen. Maybe hadith, a person is chosen for hadith, another person is chosen for tafsir, another person is chosen for fiqh. And then there are so many other departments of fiqh, other departments of tafsir, other departments of hadith. And Allah chooses great people, great people. Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Darami rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Sufyan Thawri, Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahumullah ta'ala, great people, Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala. And Allah has continued to choose certain individuals, and inshallah he will continue to choose until the day of Qiyamah. The likes of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, exist today, who have been chosen by Allah subhanahu. The likes of Sheikh Yunus Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, expert on in the field of hadith. And when you look at Sheikh Yunus Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he reminds you of the great people of the past, like Hafid ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah ta'ala and Allama Aini rahimahullah ta'ala. Allah will continue to choose people who will preserve and protect his deen, the ilm that he has sent with his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was one of these individuals. He, Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi once said to me, Ulhimtu hifzal hadith wa ana fil maktab. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me to memorize the ahadith when I was a child in maktab. When I was a child in maktab. Maktab means the evening classes that our children attend. When I was in the maktab, I was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A child in the maktab may not even know the difference between hadith and Quran. But he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired me. So I would go to the maktab, and during my free time, I would sit in the company of the muhaddisun, and I would learn the hadith with chain of narrations. I would learn the text of the hadith and also the chain of narration. Muhammad ibn Abi Hatim rahimahullah ta'ala said, I asked him, what was your age when you were inspired to learn the hadith? He said, 10 or even less than 10. 10 or even less than 10. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that during those days of childhood, he had already memorized 70,000 ahadith. 70,000 ahadith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen him. He had chosen him. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a very pious father, a muhaddis. A muhaddis and also a tradesman. He was a businessman. Muhaddis and businessman. But he was so pious, so particular, that before passing away, he said, I am not leaving a single cent of haram or a single cent of doubtful money. I am not leaving behind. Haram is out of the question. Not even a single doubtful penny. Such a pious father Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he had chosen him for this great work of hadith, khidmat of hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nurtured him with halal money, halal sustenance. Allah had granted him a very pious mother, pious father, pious mother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded him from every filth of sin also. He used to say that on the day of Qiyamah, when I stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me regarding ghibah and backbiting. Because I have never backbited throughout my life. So father very pious, mother very pious, the upbringing was very pure, the nurturing was pure, both physical and spiritual nurturing was pure, and he himself was very pure. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, very, very pious, very pious. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he visited, according to Allama Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, 1,080 teachers. And from 1,080 teachers, if you ask me, from how many asatidha, from how many teachers have you acquired the ilm of hadith? I will say 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You ask any alim, nobody will go beyond 15. Nobody will go beyond 15. 7 teachers, 8 teachers, 9 teachers, 10 teachers most. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala visited 1,080 mashayikh. And for that he travelled throughout the Islamic world. He went to Makkah Mukarramah, he spent 2 years in Makkah. At the age of 16 he performed Hajj with his mother and with his older brother Ahmed. And after performing Hajj he said to the mother and Ahmed that you return, I will remain in Makkah Mukarramah, I want to acquire the ilm of Hadith. And for 2 years continuously, from the age of 16 until the age of 18, he remained in Makkah Mukarramah, and his only occupation was to go to the Muhaddithin and learn Hadith from them. Then he went to Medina Munawwara. He visited all the mashayikh there. He went to Basra, he went to Baghdad, he went to Nisapur, he went to Samarkand, wherever he was able to. 1,080. And from 1,080 Muhaddithin, he acquired 600,000 Ahadith. 600,000 Ahadith. And from 600,000 Ahadith, he chose 100,000 Ahadith. 100,000 most authentic ahadith from the 600,000. And from the 100,000 he chose 7,397 for his Sahih al-Bukhari. And before choosing, whenever he chose a hadith, before writing the hadith in his Sahih al-Bukhari, he would perform ghusl. After performing ghusl, he would perform 2 rakat salatul istikhara. And only when he felt content and comfortable did he write the hadith. So only this 7,397 hadith. So he must have performed ghusl 7,397 times. And he must have performed 2 rakat salatul istikhara 7,397 times. And it's possible that he performed ghusl. He performed 2 rakat. And after performing 2 rakah, he did not feel comfortable. Only knows how many times that happened. And he wrote this, he compiled this Bukhari Sharif. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted Bukhari Sharif and Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala so much acceptance. And he begins the hadith with Bad'ul Wahy, the book with Bad'ul Wahy. The muhaddithin have their own style, they have their own way of opening a book of hadith. Some have opened their books of hadith with tahara, some with awqat us-salah, some with ittiba'u sunnah, some with a muqaddama on sanad, some with kitabul iman. They have their own style. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala's style is unique. And he begins his Sahihul Bukhari with Bad'ul Wahy. And through that first Tarjamatul Bab, the first chapter, his desire is to establish the prophethood of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kaifa kana badul wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did the wahy begin towards our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He asked this question. How was the beginning of the wahy towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The question implies that wahy did begin. Wahy did come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he is asking the question, this is his style. He has a unique style of establishing facts. So in the very first Tarjamatul Bab, he wishes to establish this fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was the Sahibul Wahya. He was someone upon whom Wahya was revealed. And how does he establish that? He puts this question. How was the beginning of Wahya towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That means there was a beginning of Wahya. How was the beginning? That means there was a beginning of Wahya. And if there was a beginning of Wahya, that is proof that he was Sahibul Wahy. And if he was Sahibul Wahy, that means he was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, after establishing this fact with this question, he enforces that with a proof from the Quran. Inna awhayna ilayka. We have revealed to you. We have sent the Wahy to you. كَمَا أُحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّنَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Just as we had revealed revelation to Nuh and all the Anbiya after Nuh. So he begins his book with wahy, and he establishes that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary person. He was Sahibul Wahy. He was the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter he brings various ahadith to prove this. After the Quranic verse. So he makes a claim and he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was no ordinary person. He was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a Sahibul Wahy. Proof number one from the Quran. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wa nabiyyina min ba'di. And proof number two from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he brings seven ahadith. And through those seven ahadith, he establishes his claim that yes, he was Sahibul Wahy. And when this is established, now we have complete confidence on whatever he says. So now he begins the book with Kitabul Iman. Kitabul Iman. Until his Nubuwwat is not established, whatever he says, whatever he does is not reliable. So first we need to establish this fact that he is no ordinary person, he is Sahibul Wahy, he is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once this fact is established, then everything he says is reliable, everything he does is reliable, every call of his and every fail of his is reliable. So therefore he establishes this fact first, and then he brings Kitabul Iman, Awwalul Wajibat, Ashraful Wajibat. After Iman he brings Kitabul Ilm. And then he begins with all the other ahkam. Here also, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins the book with the mention of wahy, which he had to, in order to establish the nubuwwat of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And as a result, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the whole incident wherein Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam came with the first revelation, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akramu alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. So at the beginning of the book, he mentions the beginning of the Quran. Now at the end of the book, he mentions the ending of the Quran. According to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma and other mufassireen, the last verse revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wattaqu yawman turja'una fihi ilallah. Fear that day when all of you will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the last verse revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day when you will all have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will happen then? After you are returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. When you, after you are returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each person will be retributed for whatever he or she did in the world. ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ. Each person will be retributed. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Any atom of good that a person has done, he will see it in the hereafter. An atom of evil that he has done, he will see it in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not oppress anybody. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Nobody will be oppressed. The good doer will be given good and the evil doer will be punished by being thrown in the fire of Jahannam. Now in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give retribution, it is necessary to weigh the amal. Without weighing the amal, a person will not be sad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. But for the satisfaction of the person who is being tested and trialed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the scale. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh our good deeds and our bad deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh our good deeds and our bad deeds. My friends, let us all keep this in our minds at all times. That a day is going to come when our good deeds and our bad deeds will be weighed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recompense us, retribute us for every good or every evil that we have committed in this world. Each and every word we say, my friends, it is noted. Each and every word we say, it is noted. Each and every action we carry out, it is noted. And everything will be presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, my friends, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرْ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. We will not be able to hide anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or from the millions of people who will be present in the field of mahshar. Today, I am being praised because Mufti Sahib does not know what I hold inside. He is praising me because he can only see what I show him. He cannot see what I am hiding. And this is the excellence of Mufti Sahib, who is praising me, that he is seeing only the good side of me and not the bad side. There are not so many people who can do this, that they can see good aspects in a person and they can ignore the evil aspects, bad aspects. So we all have good aspects, bad aspects, and there are so much filth that we are hiding inside. So much filth. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Only Allah knows what my intention is at this very moment when I am lecturing. And when people are glued to what I am saying, they are listening attentively. And during the talk, when you can see satisfaction on the faces of the people, smiling, sometimes somebody saying Subhanallah, sometimes somebody saying Alhamdulillah, the public does not know. Those who are sitting so close do not know what is going through my heart. Am I enjoying this honor? Am I enjoying this Subhanallah? Am I enjoying this Alhamdulillah? Am I enjoying this moment where I see so much happiness on the faces of the people, that yes, my speech is great and I'm doing well and I'm making everybody happy and today's Jalsa is a success? Only Allah knows. Allah knows everything. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose us. And as a result, people praise us. People say so many good things about us. But on the day of Qiyamah, my friends, nothing will remain hidden. Nothing will remain hidden. Everything will open up in front of Mufti Sahib, in front of those people who used to praise us in this very world. Before that moment of accountability comes, my friends, let us sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us clean the bad side of our book of deeds. And let us from now always do that which is good. And if we slip and make a mistake, let us repent. So on the day of Qiyamah, we are not disgraced. On the day of Qiyamah, we are not embarrassed. On the day of Qiyamah, we do not feel afraid of as to what will happen. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us for the good and punish us for the wrong we have done. And in order to reward us for the good that we have done and punish us for the evil we have done, to satisfy us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will weigh our a'mal. He will place the mizan. He will place the scale. And the scale will have two pans. In one pan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the good deeds. And in one pan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the evil deeds. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذِنِ الْحَقِّ. This is the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will physically place a mizan. And the mizan will have two pans. Imam Abu al-Hasan, Imam Abu al-Qasim al-Lalkai, rahimahullah ta'ala, narrates on the authority of Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, yudawul mizan walahu kiffatan. On the day of Qiyamah, the mizan, the scale will be placed. And the scale will have two pans. And one pan will be so large, from the size of this pan, we can estimate the size of the scale. One pan will be so large, لَوْوُضِيَتْ فِي إِحْدَاهُمَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says that if in one pan the seven heavens and the earth and whatever they contain was to be placed, لَوَسِعَتْهُ. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu says that even the seven heavens and the earth and whatever they contain will not be able to fill one pan. Allahu Akbar. It will not be able to fill one pan. That is the size of one pan. What about two pans? And what about the whole scale? And Imam Tirmizi rahimahullahu ta'ala narrates on the authority of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, that Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu quotes from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that yudawul mizanu yawm al-qiyamah, that on the day of Qiyamah, mizan, scale will be placed, and if everything, if the seven heavens and the earth was placed in one pan of the scale, then there would still remain some place. It would not be able to fill the pan. So according to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, physical mizan will be there. It will have two pans. On the right hand side scale, in the right hand side of the scale, in the pan on the right hand side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the good deeds. And in the pan on the left hand side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place the evil deeds. And Allah says, فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Those people whose right hand side pan becomes heavy, then these people are successful. وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. And those people whose right hand side scale becomes light, and the left hand side, the right hand side pan becomes light, and the left hand side pan becomes heavy. فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فِي جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدُونَ. These are the people who will wrong themselves, who will do harm to themselves, and they will remain in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. So this day is going to come. قَوْلُ اللَّهِ وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala here also, he establishes the aqeedah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we will place the scale for justice on the day of Qiyamah. And Imam Bukhari, after quoting this verse, comments, وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزَنْ, that the amal and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. The amal and the aqwal of Banu Adam will be weighed. There are certain people who are of the opinion that amal and the aqwal, the words of a human or the actions of a human cannot be weighed because it is abstract, it is intangible. Intangible is something that is there for a moment and then it's not there. When I am standing in Qiyam, you can see Qiyam. But as soon as I go in Ruku, the Qiyam is gone. And as soon as I get up from Ruku, the Qawma is there, Ruku is gone. And as soon as I go in Sajda, Sajda is there, but Qawma is gone. So this group says that how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala weigh something that does not exist, that does not have a form, that cannot be touched, that cannot come in anyone's grip. How is it possible to weigh and measure something which is intangible, which is an abstract thing? It's not possible. These are those people who try to understand the wahy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the faculty of intellect. There are three sources through which a person is able to acquire ilm. One is the five senses. Through the five senses we acquire ilm. Through the faculty of the eyes, faculty of the ears, nose, the tongue, and feeling and touching. Five senses. Then we can also acquire ilm through aqla. Through aqla, through the faculty of intellect. And the third stage of ilm is we acquire ilm through wahi. The first stage is the five senses. What we are able to acquire through the faculty of intellect, we cannot acquire and understand through the five senses. For example, it is an accepted fact that a person can only survive with oxygen. Without oxygen, a person cannot survive. Now, the faculty of intellect says that a person can only survive with oxygen. So, there has to be oxygen in this room. If there was no oxygen, people would not be alive. But because everybody is alive, that means there is oxygen. But we cannot see oxygen. We cannot hear oxygen. We cannot smell oxygen. We cannot taste oxygen. And we cannot touch oxygen. Despite that, all of us believe that oxygen is there. Why? Because it is everybody's belief that what a person is able to understand with the faculty of intellect, he is unable to understand through the faculty of the five senses. Similarly, what a person is able to understand through the faculty of wahy, a person will not be able to understand through the faculty of intellect. Because it is a stage higher. So what we say is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, we will weigh the amal, whether the faculty of intellect can understand or not, we believe that Allah will weigh the amal on the day of Qiyamah, despite amal being intangible, despite amal being an abstract thing. But in this day and age, if such people existed in this day and age, they would not have objected. Because there are so many intangible things, there are so many abstract things which are being weighed and which are being measured. For example, heat and cold. In this room, heat can be measured. Cold can be measured. Outside, heat can be measured. Cold can be measured. But it is an abstract thing. It is intangible. Heat, you cannot touch. You cannot take heat into your grips. You cannot put it into any scale. But despite that, you can measure it. So if these people, such people existed in this day and age, they would not have objected to it. But again, I reaffirm that the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah will physically place the mizan, the scale, and he will weigh our a'mal, good deeds and bad deeds, and according to our a'mal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with us. So the last verse of the Quran is summa tuwaffa kullu nafsim ma kasabat wa hum la yudhlamun. that each person will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each person will be retributed. He will be rewarded for good, punished for bad, according to what this person has done in the world. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins Sahihul Bukhari with the beginning of the Quran, and he ends Sahihul Bukhari with the ending of the Quran. And according to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma and other mufassirin, the last complete surah that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, when will come the help of Allah and the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, and when you will see, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, people entering into the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in folds, in groups, what should you do then? Fasabbih. Then you should do tasbih. Tasbih. You should declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from every fault and every weakness. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika. And you should praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you should proclaim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ, and you should make istighfar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. This is the last complete surah. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions tasbih and tahmeed. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, keeping the last verse in mind, brings the last chapter. بَابٌ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And keeping the last complete surah in mind, wherein Allah mentions tasbih and tahmeed, he mentions the hadith, kalimatani habibatani ila rahman, khafifatani ala lisan, saqilatani fil mizan, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi azim. So he has a very close and profound attachment not only to the hadith, but with the Quran as well. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah begins Sahihul Bukhari, the book of hadith, with the beginning of the Quran, and he ends Sahihul Bukhari, the book of hadith, with the ending of the Quran. And he is reminding all of us, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, reminding all of us that a day is going to come when you will be rewarded for your good works and when you will be punished for your wrongs. So make sure that you fill your book of deeds with subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, At-tuhura shatrul iman, walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. Allah has made deen so easy for us, my friends. Walhamdulillahi tamla'ul mizan. If you say alhamdulillah once, please repeat, alhamdulillah. If you say alhamdulillah, only alhamdulillah. If you say alhamdulillah once, you already know the size of the mizan, the size of the pan of the mizan. If you say alhamdulillah once, even the seven heavens and the seven earth cannot fill the pan of the mizan. But if you say alhamdulillah once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills the pan of the mizan with the rewards. In 60 seconds, how many times will we be able to say alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah? So, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim, we need to recite as much as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. In the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, kalimatane, there are two sentences. Here, kalimah means kalam. Wa alzamahum kalimat al-taqwa. So sometimes kalima means kalam. Kalima means word, but sometimes the word is used to mean a full sentence in the Arabic language. So here kalimatane, the literal meaning is two words, but here two words means two sentences. Habibatane ilar Rahman, they are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. They are beloved to Rahman Ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say habibatane ilallah, or habibatani ila al-qahhar. or Habibatani ilal Azim. There are so many names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habibatani ilal Sabur, Habibatani ilal Rashid. No, Habibatani ilal Rahman. There are two sentences which are beloved to the most compassionate creator. The reference is being made towards this fact that whatever good you are able to acquire in this world or in the hereafter, it is only through the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Habibatana ila Rahman. Two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. And if these two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, then whoever enlightens his heart with these two sentences, or whoever moistens his tongue with these two sentences, he will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, once mentioned that a person's house, the size of a person's house is according to his status. The size of a person's house is according to his status. A poor person's house will be small. A rich person's house will be large. The queen's palace is the largest. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his status is the highest. Despite that, his house in Makkah Mukarramah is the smallest. Why? He said, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his servants. If he had erected the largest house, how would we have performed tawaf? So he said that his status deserved the largest house on this earth. But he erected the smallest house. Because he was merciful to his servants that I want to make tawaf easy for you. So just 7 rounds quickly in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and as a result of that tawaf, you have my forgiveness. So similarly, here also, two sentences, beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and very heavy in the scale. They should have been very long sentences. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره. This is the whole sentence. This whole surah is a whole sentence. So two sentences which are beloved to Allah and also very heavy in the mizan. They should have been very long sentences. But no, again, through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, two sentences, very beloved to Allah and very heavy in the mizan, but the shortest sentences. Very short. Kalimatani habibatani ila Rahman, khafifatani ala lisan. Very easy on the tongue. Saqilatani fil mizan. Heavy in the mizan. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahi. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. سبحان الله العظيم سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. Let us make a firm resolution, my friends. May Allah grant me the tawfiq also to recite this tasbih at least 100 times daily. 100 times daily. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. There are three things in these two sentences. One is سبحان الله. I am concluding now. Subhanallah. Subhanallah means usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqa'is kulliha. Hafid ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that subhanallah means usabbihu Allah ta'ala anin naqa'is kulliha. I declare that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and free from all faults, all shortcomings and all defects. Allah is pure. Number two, وَبِحَمْدِهِ مُشْتَمِلًا بِالْمَحَامِدِ كُلِّهَا. Whilst I am declaring the purity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all faults, I am also praising Him. And I am saying that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. And again, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Third thing, al-Azim. أُسَبِّحُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ عَنِ النَّقَائِسِ كُلِّهَا عَلَىٰ حَسْبِ شَانِ عَزَمَتِهِ. Whilst I am glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and declaring His purity, I am saying this with His grandeur and with His greatness in mind. So I am saying three things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from all faults, all shortcomings, all defects. He is pure. Number two, I am saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mahmood, worthy of all praises. And I am saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nothing but great. Now whether we say this or not, Allah is pure. Allah is worthy of all praises. And Allah is great. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking us to say this? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Whether we say this or not, whether the Anbiya say this or not, whether the Malaika say this or not, it is an accepted fact that Allah is pure from every fault, every defect. Allah is worthy of all praises. And Allah is nothing but great. So why is Allah asking us to say Subhanallah? Why is Allah asking us to say Alhamdulillah? Why is Allah asking us to say Allahu Akbar? Subhanallah al-Azim, Allahu Akbar. Allah is great. This is also mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is asking us to say these three things for ourselves. Allah is saying that, oh my servant, I am already pure. I don't need your help. And I don't need your declaration for my purity. I am already pure. But if you say Subhanallah, as a result of saying Subhanallah, I will purify your heart. I am already worthy of all praises. I don't need you to praise me. But if you say Alhamdulillah, I will make you praiseworthy in this world and the hereafter. I am already great. I don't need you to say that Allah is great. It's not that I will only become great when you say I am great. No, I don't need your recognition. I am already great. But if you say Subhanallah al-Azim, if you say Allah is great, if you say Allahu Akbar, then I will make you great in this world, in the eyes of the people, and I will make you great in the hereafter also. So the more we recite Azkar, the more we recite these Tasbihat, the more we will benefit in this world and also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Before concluding, I would just like to share a few words with my young daughters who are graduating today. Just very briefly, do not think to yourself that today you have completed your course and now you are an alima. No. What we have learned from our akabir and our mashayikh, and I am sure your teachers have already emphasized this during the course of study, that the day we graduate, that is the day when we are given the certificate of graduating as a student. That now I am a student, and in these last 5 to 6 years, I have learned from my teachers how to study. I am graduating as a true student today. Until now, I was learning from my teachers how to study. Which books to refer to. If there is a doubt or if there is a question, how to solve that problem. But Alhamdulillah, as a result of their company for 5 years, now I know how to study. So, our student days begin now. The more you will keep in touch with your books, and when needed, you will refer to your teachers, the more you will progress. We should never become independent of our teachers. That is the greatest mistake we will do. Until we breathe our last, until our teachers are alive, they will always remain our teachers. If we make progress, then whilst we are making progress, they are also making progress. It's not that Mufti Ibrahim Sahib, Maulana Umair Sahib, and the other teachers here, their status in ilm will remain where it is. You will continue studying, they will continue studying. So they were a step ahead of you, they will always remain a step ahead of you. We will always remain in need of them. Those students who put everything in studying and who study according to the method shown to them by their teachers whilst teaching, and who refer to their teachers, who keep in touch with their teachers, and who take their precious du'as and prayers and attention, such students become distinguished amongst the other students. They become mumtaz. So I urge all my daughters to set a timetable for yourself with all your other daily activities, housework, your personal work, teaching. Maybe you might start teaching. With that, you need to take out time, half an hour, 1 hour for hadith, half an hour, 1 hour for tafsir, half an hour, 1 hour for fiqh, half an hour, 1 hour for seerah. Make mashwara with your teachers and carry on, because you have exerted so much effort, and don't let what you have acquired go to waste. Ilm does not stay in one place. Either ilm progresses or it degenerates. Either it goes further or it goes backward. It does not stay in one place. So this is one thing you need to do. Number two, العلم بلا عمل كالشجر بلا ثمر. Ilm without amal is like a tree without fruits. Nobody will keep that tree in his garden which does not bear fruit. Alhamdulillah, through your efforts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you a place in the garden of nubuwwah. Today you are finding a place in the garden of nubuwwah. If you are fruitful, Allah will let you remain in that garden. If you are not fruitful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will throw you out from that garden. Al-ilmu bila amal kashajari bila thamar. Ilm without amal is like the tree without fruit. Become a fruitful tree from which and from whom so many individuals of the ummah will benefit, will derive benefit. And I will end with a saying of Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullahu ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرِ. That person does not deserve the title of alim or alima, who can differentiate between khair and shar, who knows what is halal, what is haram. No, that person does not deserve the title of alim. So who is alim and who is alima? إِنَّمَا الْعَالِمُ الَّذِي يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ فَيَتَّبِعُهُ وَيَعْرِفُ الشَّرَّ فَيَجْتَنِبُهُ. Only that person deserves the title of alim and alima who recognizes khair and follows that khair, and who recognizes shar and who abstains from that shar. So continue studying. So you continually increase your recognition of khair and shar, and follow khair and abstain from shar, and try to encourage others also to follow khair and abstain from shar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. I am grateful to Mufti Ibrahim Sahib and his team, and also the administration at Masjid Amirul Islam for granting me this honor of being part of this great work that is taking place here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let it continue until the day of Qiyamah. May they and may we all find pleasure in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa al-aqibatu lil-muttaqeen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين، ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان، واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد، ونعيما لا ينفد، ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة، جنة الخلد. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها، وخير أعمارنا أواخرها، وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك، ولا تنسنا ذكرك، ولا تهتك عنا سترك. اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترك. اللهم لا تهتك عنا سترك، ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين، واجعلنا من المتطهرين، ومن عبادك الصالحين، ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين، المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع. يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما، یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما، عفو و عافیت کا معاملہ فرما، فضل و عنایت کا معاملہ فرما، حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما. ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین، ہم بہت گنہ گار ہیں، بہت گنہ گار ہیں، بہت گنہ گار ہیں. معاف فرما دے، معاف فرما دے، معاف فرما دے. یا ارحم الراحمین، ہمارے گناہوں کے باوجود تو ستاری کرتا ہے. الہ العالمین، اس ستاری کے پردے کو جنت میں داخل ہونے تک باقی رکھنا. یا رب الراحمین، یا رب الراحمین، ہماری حفاظت فرما، ہماری حفاظت فرما، ہماری حفاظت فرما. شیطان اور نفس کے مقاید سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین، الہ العالمین، تیری مرضیات پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. نامرضیات سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. الہ العالمین، ہماری قلوب کو اپنی محبت سے منور فرما، اپنی معرفت سے منور فرما. الہ العالمین، اپنی یاد سے منور فرما. الہ العالمین، اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی محبت سے منور فرما. ہماری زندگیوں کو آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی اتباع سے آراستہ فرما. الہ العالمین، علم میں خوب برکت نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین، علم کی قدر نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین، علم والوں کی قدر نصیب فرما، ان سے استفادے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، مدارس کی قدر نصیب فرما، ان کے تعاون کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین، علم پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے، علم پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے، علم پر عمل کرنے والا بنا دے. یا ارحم الراحمین، حسن خاتمہ کی دولت سے مالا مال فرما، آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما، آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما. الہ العالمین، بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما، بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما، بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، گمراہوں کو ہدایت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، ذلیلوں کو عزت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین، جاہلوں کو علم نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین، جو تجھ سے دور ہے انہیں قرب نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین، جو تیری بڑائی سے ناواقف ہے انہیں معرفت عطا فرما. یا رب الراحمین، جن کے قلوب میں
دنیا کی محبت بسی ہوئی ہے, لال عالمین دنیا کی محبت نکال کر اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنی محبت عطا فرما, اپنی محبت عطا فرما. یا رحم الراحمین شیطان النفس کی چنگل سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہمیں نجات عطا فرما, ہمیں نجات عطا فرما. الہ العالمین دین کی صحیح سمجھ عطا فرما. یا رحم الراحمین جن بچیوں نے آج درس نظامی کی تکمیل کی ہے انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, انہیں بے انتہا قبول فرما, بے انتہا قبول فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں علماء ربانیین کی جماعت میں شامل فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں سلف صالحین کے منہج پر چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین انہیں علم سے عمل سے آراستہ فرما, انہیں دین کی خدمت کے لیے قبول فرما, انہیں ہزاروں کی ہدایت کا ذریعہ بنا. الہ العالمین انہیں اپنے اساتذہ, الہ العالمین اپنے ماں باپ ہم سب کے لیے آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا. یا رحم الراحمین آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا. انہیں علم کی نہ بجھنے والی پیاس عطا فرما, علم کی نہ مٹنے والی بھوک عطا فرما. یا رحم الراحمین سلف صالحین کے طریق پر چلا دے. الہ العالمین ان کے ظاہر اور باطن کو درست فرما دے, ہمارے بھی ظاہر اور باطن کو درست فرما دے. الہ العالمین اس مدرسے میں جو بچیاں پڑھ رہی ہیں انہیں علم و عمل سے آراستہ فرما, علم کے نور سے منور فرما, ان کے لیے آسانیاں پیدا فرما, ان کو شرح صدر عطا فرما, ان کے ذہنوں کو کھول دے, ان کے حافظے کو قوت عطا فرما. الہ العالمین یہاں جو اساتذہ استادیاں پڑھا رہی ہے ان کے علوم میں, ان کے فیوز میں, ان کے خلوص میں خوب برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین مسجد نور الاسلام کے تحت جتنے کام چل رہے ہیں ہو رہے ہیں, الہ العالمین سب میں برکت پیدا فرما, سب میں خیر پیدا فرما, برکت اور خیر پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ہر کام کو اپنی مرضی کے مطابق بنا دے. الہ العالمین ان کاموں کو آخرت میں نجات کا ذریعہ بنا دے. الہ العالمین مسجد نور الاسلام کو, تمام اداروں کو, تمام مساجد کو, تمام مدارس کو, تمام الہ العالمین دین کے کاموں کو اے ارحم الراحمین تیری نامرضیات سے محفوظ رہنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین اس جلسے کو بے انتہا قبول فرما, یہاں آنے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. الہ العالمین ہمارے متعلقین میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. الہ العالمین جو شریک ہیں ان میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. پوری امت کو, پوری امت میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما. الہ العالمین امت پٹ رہی ہے, پریشان ہے, الہ العالمین پریشانی کو دور فرما. یہ ہماری شامت عمل کی وجہ سے ہے. الہ العالمین توبہ کی توفیق عطا فرما, نیک عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما, ظاہر اور باطن کی اصلاح کی توفیق عطا فرما. الہ العالمین امت مسلمہ کے حال پر رحم فرما. الہ العالمین امن کو عام فرما, سلامتی کو عام فرما, رحمت کو عام فرما, برکت کو عام فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ظلم کو ختم فرما, تشدد کو ختم فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے اس ملک میں بھی استحکام پیدا فرما, نفرت کی فضاؤں کو ختم فرما, محبت کی فضاؤں کو عام فرما. ہم سب کو بھی الہ العالمین دوسروں کے لیے نمونہ بنا دے, تیرے رحمت والے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی رحمت والی تعلیمات کا ہمیں علم بردار بنا دے. الہ العالمین ہمارے جو نقائص ہیں ان کو دور فرما دے, ہمیں حقیقی کامل مسلم بنا دے. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین آج کے نکاح میں بھی خیر و برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین دلہا دلہن کو خوب محبت عطا فرما, دنیاوی اخروی خیرات برکات سے انہیں مالا مال فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین جن کی شادیاں باقی ہیں انہیں, ان کے لیے الہ العالمین بہترین جوڑے میسر فرما. الہ العالمین جن کی شادیاں ہو چکی ہیں انہیں خوشیاں نصیب فرما, جو بھی اولاد ہیں انہیں اولاد صالح عطا فرما, اولاد والوں کو اولاد کی طرف سے آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین جن جن بھائیوں نے بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہیں, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں, محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, اساتذہ, مشائخ, دوست احباب, حاضرین مجلس, شرکائے مجلس, سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین پوری دنیا میں دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں اور جو تیری مرضی کے مطابق ہے سب کو شرف قبول عطا فرما, سب کو الہ العالمین مدد فرما, سب پر فضل و فیضان فرما. اور اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے اساتذہ, محبین محسنین میں سے جو جو زندہ ہیں ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما. الہ العالمین ان کی توجہ اور ان کی دعاؤں سے ہمیں مستفید فرما. الہ العالمین جو جا چکے ہیں انہیں اپنی جوار رحمت میں بلندی درجات نصیب فرما. الہ العالمین جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو نہیں مانگا مانگنا چاہیے تھا وہ بھی عطا فرما. آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما. جن شرور سے آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے پناہ مانگی تھی ان سے پناہ عطا فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم, وتب علینا انک انت التواب الرحیم.
رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.